If we can find Cuddybackville to Alpine, you'll be in business.
It'd be nice if it actually did something. I don't see any results coming. All right, so we'll go back, try another calculator.
I don't want you to go crazy, Gordon, plus I've got to get going, but I hate to have started you on a special project.
I think I found one that's actually competent now.
Okay, I'll hang out.
Airline is 54 miles.
Okay, I underestimated by 12 miles. Okay, that's a nice shout on VHF. Of course, the altitude, the elevation helps. All right, I'm going to say goodnight. I'll let you get back to what you're doing. It was nice to catch up with you. Maybe I'll see you one day at the next Barra meeting. And whatever the next event is as well, if you can make it.
What are you doing a week from Sunday? Would you like to work on the Bravo rally?
Well, Sundays I'm pretty much committed to activities at my other club, and I also have some special things that I'm doing after regular club hours. So I spend a good half day at the TRPC, etc. And then, of course, I've got my daughter who's coming back from, well, you talk about this coming or next? Any Sunday I'm usually committed to the other club, the Tenafly Rifle Pistol Club. This Saturday, tomorrow, next couple of days, my daughter's getting back from Europe. I'm picking her up at the airport. She'll spend a weekend with me, and I'll bring her back to New York City on Sunday night.
Yep. Okay, that makes sense. For whatever reason, I can't get radar from the United States government right now, and the rain just started, so I think I better start securing gear before it gets wet. So, that answers my question. Gary, I'll talk with you in a bit. W2TTT.
Hi, Gordon 73, W2TTT, KC2QIM. Have a great afternoon, great evening, that is, and I'll see you next time, my friend. Be well.
W2TTT, KD2EIG. Gordon, if you need a radar check, I'm right next to it. Let me know. This is Frank.
This is W2TTT on 955 with an HD.
Audible, a little low, a little scratchy, but good. KD2DDK.
In the middle, maybe it's the way you turned. Probably your biggest problem is going to be battery.
Yeah, well, it's a fresh battery, but yeah, you're probably right. And I unkeyed at that point. It wasn't the way I moved or anything. It was the way I held the radio. But yeah, okay. I mean, I'm dry. I mean, a little bit of a flatter. The tarp I'm using this time is it covers the roof line, but it doesn't have any wraparound at all on the sides, and that can be problematic. So, anyway, it is what it is. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Conserve battery. Take a break. Get a refreshment, and you got an hour yet. I wouldn't use the first battery yapping with me. You can yap with me anytime. No offense, and I'll talk if you want to. KD2DDK.
Okay. Very good, Gary. KD2DDK. W2TTT. By the way, I'm keying a second repeater on 5 watts and my repurposed mobile on me up about 25 feet. Of course, 25 feet plus another handful of feet because it's terrain, like 1,500 of them. See you in a bit. W2TTT.
KD2DWD. W2AAC.
W2BGT
listen. W2TTT, look for you on the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net in a little bit at 9 o'clock.
Calling station, this is W2BGT.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm busy using an HD right now. We'll have a net here at 9 o'clock, the technical net. You're welcome to join.
Roger, copy that time. Thank you, I will. W2BGT, over and out.
Very good. Always Thursday at 9. W2TTT.
W2TTT.
Louder, no background hiss.
Yeah, I'm back on the big rig again. Is this okay?
Very good, they're quieting.
Let me try the medium power, hold on. Is this okay?
Audio dropped off a little with a little bit of crackle. KD2DDK.
Let me try talking into the microphone. Is this any better?
Audio's back, and with the loud audio, I didn't hear the crackle.
Okay, I think we'll go with this. I'll try the low power just for amusement, but here you go. Okie dokie, so here we are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 by 5.
Okay, so you would or would not recommend running the net like this?
Sounds great. No problem.
Then we're going to go in this mode. Let me take a quick head call. I'll be right back. Okay, KD2DDK, W2TTT. Just be aware that should I lose power, I have a second fully charged battery right standing here next to me. And I'll know pretty quick because the radio balks mercilessly when you have low power.
KD2DDK. Okay, noted.
Yeah, I'm running on a partially used 35 ampere hour, but I've got a fully charged 18 or 20 right here.
Should get you through about an hour. The duty cycle's a little bit different when you run the net, though.
20 ampere hour? You're just running the transceiver? Nah. Can run a very long time on that.
That was sarcastic.
Yes, it was. Stand by, I gotta go figure out where my open soda bottle went. In all the frenzy to get things undercover. It's raining again here, by the way. I think in that process, I ended up kicking my other. I'm gonna have to remember to close talk this microphone. My other soda bottle off the back of the platform. And I'm not gonna go tromping out in the rain right now to go get it. It's just pouring again.
Beautiful night. All the boys are safe in their tents doing something else.
A couple of them are under a dining fly looking at a fire outside the dining fly. I'm just going to stand by here and just kind of chill until the net starts. I have equipped myself with adequate amounts of bug spray, so I'm not turning into a mosquito feeding device.
Be prepared, yes.
Side, but 100% intelligible. This is WA2UMP in Pearl River.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. I just went to medium power just to, you know, split the difference a little bit, save a little bit of power. If I should have an interruption of power when I transmit, let me know and I can slip another battery into the service. So, the purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, and other things related to the art and what we do with it. All right, one of my scouts is, a couple of my scouts are actually going to join me here. So, very good. I'm at scout camp here at Camp Terrell. Camp Terrell is located west of Middletown, New York, about 55 miles from the repeater. And we are at 1,500 feet above sea level, and using an ICOM 2200 rig. So we're doing pretty well, considering. All right, so this is the purpose of that, as I said, is to have a conversation. To that end, we'd like you to participate, even if you have no questions or comments or for sale or swap items. So with no further ado, let's just point out that we check in with our call sign, our name, and indicate whether or not you have a question, a comment, or questions, comments, for sale or swap, or some combination of that, or none of the above. None of the above is helpful because that way we know how to direct the technical level of the net and also the topical aspects of the net. So if we don't know you're there, we can't entertain you. We can't engage you either. Another issue too. We'd like to do that as well. All right, with that, let's go to the Whiskey 2s, and I'm going to take WA2UMP first. And Jim, what's your pleasure?
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. Yeah, your signal's a little better now. It's still 150% intelligible. I do have a question for this evening. Go ahead.
Very good, Jim. Thank you very much. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Bravo, Zulu Tango, Brian, Pelham.
Okay, Brian, is it an I, Brian, or a Y, Brian?
Brian with an I, thank you, sir.
Very good. And Brian, will you have questions, comments, confusions? What's your pleasure?
None of the above, thank you. W2BZT, back to net.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? All right, very good. Let's go to Kilos.
K2ZO. No questions or comments at this time.
Very good, K2ZO. I got you. Who is the station to double with you?
Wait. Comments. Just listening.
Okay, Tony, K2AMI, I have you as well. I have an answer to the question you posed last night about Raspberry Pis, what you can do with them. So we're going to bring that up tonight, so just stand by for that, okay?
I've been listening.
Very good. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Echo November, Victor.
QENV, welcome to Amateur Radio. Your name, location, and your pleasure, sir.
Name's AJ. I'm actually the son of Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, working with you on the HSM MeshNet.
Congratulations, AJ. Welcome aboard. That's great. Congratulations. All right. So we'll be talking Raspberry Pi in that as well, so we can get into that in a little bit. All right. Well, congratulations on a new call. Alrighty, any other kilos?
A2EIR.
Nothing, just listening.
Okay, I got DDK, welcome aboard Gary, and Howie, what's your pleasure?
A2EIR, no comments, no questions, Howie in Tarrytown, and good evening.
Good evening, to both you and Gary. Alright, very fine. I have a very persistent moth that just bit the farm. You can come and fly around my legs only so long before I'm going to terminate you with extreme prejudice, to quote a phrase from an old movie. All right, very good. Any other kilos?
K2ALQ Mobile.
K again, please, Mobile.
KC2 Mobile.
Roger that. Okay, any other whiskeys?
W2JE
EK Don. None of the above.
Okay, very good, Don. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Okay, any alphas? Any other kilos? Any other Novembers? Okay, very good. Let's do this. The KC2 mobile station. Try it again, if you would. Okay, very good. Well, alas, it wasn't able to be. All right, so let's start here. WA2UMP, your question, James. How are you? KTBAR.
Good evening, Gordon. Okay, in the last 2 weeks, I bought a 220 rig. I have an Olinco DR-235, puts out 25 watts. Having lots of fun with it. Can hit, at least 15 or more repeaters. My challenge, as usual, with these indoor antennas is it works great with the repeaters, but it's a bit of a challenge with simplex. There's a group that meets on almost nightly on the simplex calling frequency. Most of them are southwest to me. And I thought what I could do to be able to hit those folks better would be to build a small kind of broadbanded beam, like a three-element Yagi. So my question is a three-element Yagi broad enough? Would I be better off with a Moxon or a two-element Yagi? And I may have to build this to see, but I wanted to get some comments. One guy is at 150 degrees to me. He's kind of, you call that south-southeast. Most of the others are, there's a bunch at about 200 degrees. One guy's at 248 degrees. So you can see there's maybe about an 80-degree spectrum that they sit in. What I was thinking of is constructing a three-element beam, putting it in. Yagi and take it from there. The corner reflector, I'll look into. I'm not sure how to construct that. I guess I could take a look on the web. Go ahead.
Yes, the web and either the antenna book, you know, that the ARRL publishes, and sometimes even the ARRL regular handbook, and you'll get an idea.
What would make the corner reflector better than a Moxon or a two-element or a three-element Yagi?
Well, this is K2EIR. I'm hard-pressed to actually answer that. I'm coming at you more sort of from aptitude than knowledge. But it's just a reflector, again. The corner reflector is just a reflector. And basically, I think my recollections are it tends to focus in a 90, you know, because the reflector itself is at 90 degree angles, it tends to focus, I want to say over a 90 degree range, but that may be true. It may be over a 90 degree range, but I'm sure it has a very definite peak. It isn't as if it had, you know, if you have a really super sharp Yagi, it might have a 3 degree or 5 degree, I don't want to say bandwidth, but, you know, that's the focus of the beam. Take a look at it. That's all I'm recommending. If you can find the literature, as you say, on the Internet, that's fine. K2EIR.
The comment.
AB2HCE.
Kilo Bravo 2 Hotel. W2REN with a comment.
W2REN with a comment, go ahead.
AB2, what was your call? Roger, I've been building Moxons and 2-meter Moxons and a lot of these Yagis, and I do it as a hobby, and I actually give a couple away to have people try them out and tell them how they work. But I can tell you, a Moxon usually puts out about 6 dB gain. A 3-element Yagi puts out about 7 dB gain. A 2-element puts out about 4 dB gain. I'm working right now on a 4-element, and that has about 8 dB gain. Now, what you're trying to do, this frequency that you're, how far is it that you want to perceive this band? Are you looking for distance, or you just want to make something that you're going to be able to use for portable, or are you going to be doing, what is the distance you're looking for?
Distance is very short. We're talking, these people are within 10 to 13 miles. 7, 10, 13 miles.
Okay, roger, on the 13 miles. You would have no problem, and I say this with authority, you would have no problem with a 3-element beam. Actually, a 2-element beam would probably be good too. But the Yagi, the 3-element beam to use for directional finding, works very good. A tape measure beam, very good. You get it attuned very well. It's also good for directional finder. I've built many of those and actually operated on them. They do put out. I'm here in Sukasana, and I've dropped a Bangor PA on one using my little HT, if you can believe that, with the conditions are right. So I'm telling you, the 3-element beam, go to Joe Lego's 3-element tape mesh beam. It's in, you can get it off the net. You'll be very happy with that plan. You will get out, and it receives very good. It has a good front-to-back DB ratio. It's got good chains and frequency rejection. It's a very good antenna. Over.
Okay, I do have a special requirement, though. I was going to attempt to just point this southwest and hoping that I could get an 80 degree angle. Can I get that from the Moxon? Go ahead. the three-element beam, I'm wondering if that might be a little sharp. You know what I mean? It might be narrower. Would the three, would the Moxon be more appropriate for this?
Stand by, everybody. Just stand by for a second. We're trying to do this in an orderly manner. W2RN, what is your name?
Yeah, my name is Art. That's Alpha Romeo Tango. The gentleman would like to know if that was a very good broadband advanced antenna. Yes, the three-element beam is a lot more sharper. The Moxon would give you 6 dB gain. It does have a bi-directional flaw. However, that would give you a more broad-banded antenna receiving because of its characteristic. Over.
Stand by. There's also a KB2 I'm trying to bring into this conversation. The KB2 who had a comment, go ahead.
I assume you're talking to me, KB2HCE, right?
That's it, KB2HCE. Your name, location, and did you have a comment on this?
That's a negative. I just came on the air. I was just making a, just letting you guys know that I'm on the air.
Super. And your name and location, sir?
Name's Tom in the Bronx.
Tom, very good. I just, when I was looking for comments, you and REN came at the same time, and they kind of lost the sync of this thing. But all right, very good. All right, Art, very good. Thank you for your answers. Jim, let's see if there's anybody else with some answers here, too, and then we can continue this topic a bit. Are there any other stations with suggestions for Jim? Okay, Jim, it's back to you.
Okay, well, thanks for your comments. Art, you mentioned something. The Moxon had some advantages in that it was broadbander, especially, and that would be advantageous with receiving. You did mention that it had a bidirectional flaw, meaning that the front-to-back ratio was not spectacular. But the graphs on the web don't show that. The graphs on the web seem to show that it's less coming off the back of the antenna than the two and three element Yagi. Is that not true? Go ahead.
Well, the Moxon is basically a very broad-banded antenna. You can get a lot of stuff off the sides of it because of its nature. That's the nature of the Moxon. The Moxons are very good. They're very portable. A lot of people use them for fox hunting. Very few. I know a lot of people that use fox hunting. They're very good. So is a three-element Yagi. The difference between the two of them is you get a little bit more frequency rejection with the Yagi because of its pattern. The Moxon is still decent front to back. Don't get me wrong, it's still good front to back. It's just a little bit more or less gain, but it's just a different, well configured, different type of antenna. But the Yagi, if you don't want any side interference, what a lot of people do is they run a coil through the director and the reflector, and that'll help give the side rejection from anything off the sides of the antenna. And it also will help you pull in a lot stronger signal. As far as receiving, that's what it's pretty much for. But it would give you the better. The Yagi would probably be the better choice. However, if you want it more broadbanded, then you would go with the Moxon. Over.
Okay. Something to think about. I'm going to do a little reading. The Yagi seems like a little bit easier to construct. There were a couple of different, or two or three different ways to build. I was thinking of using the folded dipole approach. Folded dipole approach, that's usually given credit to WA5VJB, called, sometimes nicknamed the Cheap Yagi, but that one kind of looked easy to construct. So I would be inclined to use that method, just to fold a dipole for the driven element. Go ahead.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know, nothing's out of the ordinary there. You can do that. What I'd made my mock, quarter-inch rods that I made out of the PVC for the frame. Most of them, they tell you in the book to use like 12-gauge wire. What I like about my Moxons is a lot more rugged, more durable, hanging around, and still looks like a Timex watch. It takes a licking and it keeps on ticking. These things for several years. In fact, I'm making another one now. Process, I've made the same dimensions of the directional finder in a three-element Yagi. Use that all the time too, even portable or base as an indoor antenna. Very, very convenient antenna. I go up to Garrett Mountain sometimes, but it really works great. My products are very, even though they're homebrew, a lot of people love the way I build them. I'm trying to sell any right now, but I don't have a website, but I'm with the SARA network in Morris County. As a matter of fact, on the 20th of this month, I will be bringing several of these antennas to our club meeting and showing them off. If you're in the area, we'd be more than happy to show up, and I will show these the Moxons, these three elements, and even some of the bigger stuff that I've built. But that's just up to you. I can give you more information on that if you'd like to see what these are all about. But these are really nice antennas. A lot of people, I actually had them, so I was selling them at our ham fest. Back when in April. They're really, really nice. You'll have to look at them.
Okay, very good, Art. Thank you very much. And, Jim, unless you have anything that you really need to clarify at this point, I'd like to move on to the next topic.
Okay, thank you for the time, everyone, and do appreciate all the information. I'm done. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. K2AMI, you're next on deck. K2BAR.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just stepped away. K2AMI, talking into the back of the microphone. Here we go. We asked about a project for Barra off of their kit night, and somebody mentioned that perhaps we could build a Raspberry Pi and find applications for the Raspberry Pi. And I think once before I discussed this with you, Gordon, and I'm not too familiar with Raspberry Pis or the usefulness of a Raspberry Pi, and I think you're going to make some effort to elaborate on the nature of building it and the usefulness of it for other projects. So could you take over from there, Gordon?
Sure. Okay. So the Raspberry Pi is a small microcontroller. It has a couple of basic ports on it, and comes with 512 megabytes of RAM. It has an SD card that you can put, I think, up to either 32 or 64 gigs on. It's just ridiculous how big it can go. And then, the operating system's usually on that SD card, and also anything else you want to put on there. And then it's got a couple of USB ports. It's powered by a third micro USB port. It just uses a power plug, essentially. And it's got two video ports. One is the old composite video, like, you know, for your Atari video game. And the other one is a 720p HDMI port. And then finally, it's got two other things that are interesting.
an Ethernet port, and it also has on it a bunch of I.O. pins, which can be used to, you know, open and close doors, do PCM, you know, pulse code modulation, you know, serial, you know, other kinds of serial interfaces, etc. So it's really kind of neat. Let me drop it. So when you have all this, what do you do with it? Well, there are a couple of things you could do with it. One is you can turn it into a, you know, by adding a display and a keyboard and a mouse, you can have a very powerful little machine to work with to play with. You can use it to, you know, do home monitoring. You can use it for running FLDigi, because there's a version of FLDigi for Ubuntu Linux, which it runs the Raspbian version of Ubuntu or Debian Linux. Let's see, what else? And all that can come literally, you know, to go for about $40. You do need to think about a case. A lot of people use old Legos for the cases. Other people use built-to-made boxes. Other people just leave it on a breadboard. In fact, there are daughter boards that can go on it for all sorts of interfaces, including relays and all sorts of other things, Wi-Fi. Some people put Wi-Fi on the USBs. Some people put USB hubs on one of the ports and bring out a bunch of USB devices. Let's see, there's also voice over IP. You can use it for that as a terminal. You can use it to log your ham station as an extra desktop, a little mini extra desktop. You can use it for a mesh, as a mesh node. And there's all sorts of things along that line. That's a good start. So, with that in mind, Tony, let me get some clarifications from you as to where you want to take this, and then we'll send it around to others.
Gordon, very good. I appreciate your rapid response and your review of the things that are useful, but I'm still not associating it with my ham radio needs or my current computer needs. I see that this is a whole branch off into more computer indulgence than I am familiar with. My level of use and my age prohibits me from learning things too quickly, as you know. But I'm curious to see and experience somebody else's work and perhaps get a hands-on look at it. Thanks for your efforts so far, though.
Okay, well, let me give you an example. So Carl runs FLDigi on a PC. Well, you could run the audio. Oh, it's got audio in and out, too, by the way. Stereo audio in and out. So you run the audio in from your HT, and it would not just automatically display it, but would also, you know, perhaps print it out. It could even email it to you on an email, so you'd have a copy of whatever the message was emailed to you. There's things like that you can do. You could turn it into a very expensive, well, not necessarily, actually, a very intricate and tailorable home control environment, opening and closing doors. You could use it for any number of things like that. Let's talk to other people. Let's see what other uses other people have in mind. I've touched on a few topics, but maybe there are other ones. Who else wants to dive in? Yeah, the other day this whole net was, or this, a lot of people were rah, 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 rah. Let's talk about it. What other things can we use with the Raspberry Pi? Or use with, you know, what you use it, you know, do using a Raspberry Pi? Well, I'll give you another one. You can use it for pointing your antennas for satellite. There's some satellite control software out there. An amazing amount of software is available for free on the internet that'll run just fine on this thing. And as I mentioned, even the latest mesh software can be fairly easily adapted to that environment.
and you can get it working pretty well and pretty easily. But yeah, use that instead of your normal Windows machine. A lot more control, you can do some other things, you can do notifications, temperature, humidity monitoring, things like that, all sorts of goodies. Anybody else?
KO2, okay.
Go ahead, Bennett.
Yeah, well, Gordon, good evening. You know, I've been kind of struggling with the same question Tony has, because I'm always interested in the new technology and new things to play with. I've seen Jim's and S2K's. I've yet to see what the projects he had intended for it, or I haven't seen, I've seen, you know, applications or apps or small programs that you can download for it that are, as you said, for free. Somebody's programming it. Somebody has the ideas. But essentially, this is just, you know, a computer in a very small package. And unless you can do the programming, or you can find somebody else that had the same idea you did, and you can find a program to do what you want to do, I don't know if I don't know if it's something for me. So again, it's really small. So if you have something you want, the power of a small computer to do certain things, and you want it in a small portable package for whatever reason, it looks like it could be useful. But you know, otherwise, I don't know. I struggle with the same thing Tony has. Is like, okay, if I bought this thing, what would I do with it? I could make it lights light up. I can get some programs here and there, but unless I had some, I'm probably not going to sit down and program. So, you know, I probably wouldn't get too much use out of it. But that's just my my comment at this point. I can use my laptop. I can use my, you know, my computer at home, whatever, and do at least the same amount of stuff as this small computer, but it's not as portable, right?
W2KBS.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have any thoughts?
W2KBS.
Carl, you're welcome aboard.
Good evening, Gordon et al. My understanding of the point of the Pi is that it's sort of a step back from the very complicated Windows and Macintosh machines we use. I mean, it's a 700 megahertz Linux box, and it's to encourage people to get back into computing itself, into basic computers. So it's sort of an entry-level step back to PC, sort of like where we were in the 1980s or early 1990s, so people can relearn coding in Linux and basically how to build computers again, starting from all this wonderful stuff that's all on one tiny board. Anyway, I have not done it myself. I have a book or two on Linux and the Raspberry Pi, but I am quite interested. Anyway, that's my spin on what I think it's all about. It's not a powerful computer. It's going back to basics. W2KBF.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. There's one difference. Unlike the 1970s and early 80s, where you were either wire wrapping, soldering, absolutely everything, this has been made a lot more gentle. They've included a lot of simple stuff. So imagine having the whole front end of what you need included, all the I/O type stuff. You know, the user interface type stuff, the network interface type stuff, memory interfaces, those sorts of things. But then, providing you with the means of adding to that, and, you know, flipping bits and reading, you know, temperatures and doing all sorts of other little odd things.
82 ENV.
Station again, please.
KD2 ENV.
82 ENV, go right ahead.
Yeah, we've been using the Raspberry Pi, at least for a practical application, for an example, is with mesh networking. With these nodes, we can deploy a node with a Raspberry Pi attached to it and log in with that and use IRC, and it gives us a chat terminal to send responses the entire mesh network that's connected to that IRC channel.
Correct, and IRC is Internet Relay Chat, which is started with texting, but now it's gone to a multi-mode environment where you could send all sorts of things, video, you could send, files, etc. So it depends on the server and the network and what you're capable of delivering, but absolutely. In fact, we did that recently. Our good friend, Zach, KT2RSS, configured one of his and one of my PIs for that exact purpose. Another one that another fellow is working on is a network monitor to actually pull statistics from the network and really in real time, and then to look for certain conditions that might be of interest or not, as the case may be. I have to be a little careful about this because that's what I do for a living. So, when people are talking about amateur grade stuff, it's cool and it's fine, but I got to be a little mum on certain things. But for instance, colleagues did a temperature, temporal USB temperature sensors for about $5, and we bought a bunch of them. And we used it to monitor equipment using Raspberry Pis to do the data collection. And that was marvelous. And other folks this guy Jason Stutz, who's not a ham at this point, he did something similar for the Pi when he was looking at the management information base, figuring how to pull for it and pull it out, statistics and configuration, et cetera, et cetera. He also, while he was at it, supported a temperature and humidity sensor. So, it's all good. I mean, there's lots and lots of opportunities out there. Anybody else?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra.
If you go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just a brief comment. Someone else had mentioned earlier the idea that, well, we're running a lot of stuff on our laptop computers, and it works fine. Why would I need a Pi? And I think that's an important point. Using a Pi opens up some other opportunities. You can, if your application can run on a small Linux computer, you can dedicate this $35 computer to whatever it is you're doing. I think you had mentioned satellite tracking, for example, as well as other things, rig control, that kind of thing, FLDigi. And so doing all that on a $35 computer that might be in some remote location and running off of very low power is a big deal, rather than dedicating a $200, $300, $400, $500 or more laptop to the whatever it is you're doing. So it's the flexibility, the inexpensiveness, the low power requirements that open up a lot of possibilities, and you can keep your laptop for the more important, more compute intensive tasks. WU2SPAC, the net control.
Very good, Randy. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like that. What's really kind of amazing is that, while you might want to put a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse on it while you're playing with it initially, there's a lot of applications where once you get it up and running, you can just access it from existing computers over the net, and that's pretty cool. So there's a thing called VNC, which is a remote desktop kind of package that's built in. And you can, download VNC for your Windows or Apple machines just fine, and remotely log in and appear like you're on the local console. And you can do that whether or not it's on the other side of the planet or across your house or across your desk. So you don't even need to put a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse on it. Once you get it going, you can do that temporarily and issue a couple of key commands, and away you go. It really is kind of neat. And
you could make that a pop-up window on one of your on one of your other machines to have a second machine somewhere else doing a dedicated task. Or, as I mentioned before, you could have it email you the results of something that it's working on quietly, or to alert you when, you know, the garage door is left open, or whatever else, you know, bothers you, or remind you of your skeds, or whatever. I mean, it's such a simple interface, and having moving away from Windows to a Linux shell script environment where you could script more readily what you want to do. And there's lots of people out there who know how to do this kind of thing, and they'll help you. That's what's so nice about it. So, you know, the kit is as much software configuration as it is turning a screwdriver or a soldering iron. What's nice about it is this platform lets you do both. Anybody else?
KC2ALQ Mobile.
KC2ANK, is it?
Alpha Quebec, KC2ALQ, Montauk, Long Island.
KC2AAQ, very good.
It's actually Alpha Lima, Quebec, Alpha Lima, Quebec, and I'm in Montauk, Long Island, Mobile, Montauk, Long Island, copy?
We are now. What's your name, sir, and go ask your question or make your comments.
The name is Nelson. Just wanted to get in there and see if I could hit the repeater. I'm approximately maybe about miles from the repeater. I figured I'd see if I can get in there clearly. Sorry for the interruption. Interesting topic. Thank you very much. KC2 ALQ Mobile, Montauk Island.
Yeah, your deviations are popping every so often. I think that may be part of the problem, but that's pretty cool from Montauk. All right, very good. Yep. You're making the trip tonight. All right, anybody else on this topic? Okay, well, if anyone's interested in knowing more about this kind of stuff, and the mesh networking stuff, or, and like, we have a Yahoo group called Comtech Group, C-O-M-T-E-C-H group, and if you can't find it, just shoot me a note at w2ttt@ett.net or ARRL.net, and mention the Comtech group if you'd like to be a part of it, blah, 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 and I'll send you the information so you can quickly join in if you. But it's on Yahoo Groups. You should be able to find it. Put in a simple request and join it. But a lot of us are doing development. A lot of us are doing just configuration and application. Some people are worrying about RF things. Some people are worrying about scripting and software control and version control and network management and, you know, all sorts of things. But the Raspberry Pi is definitely something that is such a nice, flexible platform. Speaking of which, for those who were party to a conversation, there's a Ubiquiti USB transceiver, a 2-watt transceiver. I bought one. It has arrived at my home. Of course, I'm not home. And I have a spare Raspberry Pi, so after Monday's presentation on mesh networking at the Hawthorne Firehouse, and that's open to anybody who wants to come at 7, after I get done with that, we're going to spend some time that on first as a Wi-Fi transceiver, and then we'll get it to work perhaps as a mesh node itself. Any other comments on this Raspberry Pi business? Well, Tony, how are we? K2AMI, K2BAR.
Thank you for all the information. I will attempt to digest what I can of it, and I still have not thought out an application that I need to use it for, but perhaps it'll appear in the near future. And again, thanks for the conversation, and I'll look into the websites and see what they have to say. Thank you.
I was
thinking is a dedicated narrowband terminal for you know, for DX modes might be fun, or for you know, to run FL digital.